Winnipeg, Manitoba. Welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day as always. Real Fast Manitoba, follow me on Twitter and TikTok at MBFreeThinker or on Rumble and YouTube, Manitoba Freethinker Podcast. All right, Manitoba. What crazy weather we've been experiencing lately. Like, I don't know about you, but if this is global warming, sign me up. I seen a really hilarious Facebook post. It was, I think, earlier today where someone was showing the difference from between yesterday and last year. It was a difference of 30 degrees. And I said I could just hear all the left-wing nutjobs screaming global warming. And his response was, if this is global warming, then I am never shutting my car off. So that was pretty hilarious. Sorry, I just, my chair just sank. I mean, but all right, Manitoba, like I was saying, I'll just pull it up right here. 24 warm weather records broken in Manitoba. Like, that is, that's something else. And this is January, or February 1st now, but. So I'm just going to read it. A warm Pacific air mass sweeping across Western Canada has brought spring-like temperatures and sprouted dozens of new temperature records in Manitoba. Environment Canada meteorologist Chris Stammer says 24 new records were set on Wednesday, from the Paw in the north to Emerson in the south. The hottest spot in the province was McCreary near Riding Mountain National Park at 12.1 Celsius, breaking a record of 9.4 set back in 1993. That is insane, Manitoba. 12.1. And that's, I guess it's late January. Did I read the date? But that is insane. Some new records are less than a degree warmer than the old ones, while others are more than double the previous mark. And while the sunshine warmed up Winnipeg to 7.3 at the Forks, it only reached 4.7 at the airport, which is where the official temperature is marked. That left it just shy of the record of 5 degrees, set in 52. So, it was 7.3 in Winnipeg. That is mind-blowing. The normal temperatures for this time of the year in the southern half of Manitoba is, for the high, is around 12. And for the low is around minus 21. And like I said, Manitoba, like last year, we were seeing temperatures of like minus 30, minus 40 with the wind chill. So here's a list of all the current temperatures with the records and the date corresponding to that record. I'm not going to read that out, obviously. But this is from CBC News. So if you guys want to go check it out or take a screenshot, I'll give you some time. Environment Canada forecast temperatures will remain above normal across many parts of the province into the start of next week, with the potential for more old records to fall. Wow, so there it is. It looks like it's going to continue. So with that in mind, Manitoba, Manitoba offers free entry to provincial parks through February. So if you're going to want to take advantage of this warm weather, go for it. It's going to be free. Manitobans are being invited to explore the outdoors with free entry to provincial parks throughout the month of February. So this is month-long, Manitoba. The government is waiving the fees not only to encourage people to try out the many winter activities available, but also because affordability is at the top of mind of many families. So provincial parks offer many different trail systems, including these groomed for cross-country skiing, fat biking, snowshoeing, and hiking, the release states. Paint Lake, Spruce Woods, and Turtle Mountain provincial parks also offer outdoor skating areas, hockey rinks, and toboggan hills. Hecla Grindstone Provincial Park has ice fishing shelters on Lake Winnipeg that are free to use, and people looking to downhill ski and snowboard can visit the Assisippi Ski Resort in Assisippi Provincial Park or the Falcon Ridge Ski Slopes in Whiteshell Provincial Park. Park interpreters in Birds Hill, Spruce Woods, and Whiteshell Provincial Parks offer guided programs to enrich visitor experiences. Some programs planned for February include wolf howl hikes, snowshoe treks, ski clinics, Kwanzai building, and ice fishing. While vehicle permits are not necessary for February, snow passes are still required for snowmobiles using designated trails. Vehicle permits for 2024-25 will be available for purchase beginning March 1st. So there it is, Manitoba, if you want to take advantage of... I mean, I don't know if all these winter activities will actually be available if these if this weather continues, but I mean, like, there's going to be no snow to ski on. But Manitoba, so that's the good news. Like, everyone loves warm weather, especially when, like I said, we're usually dealing with minus 40 with the wind chill. The bad news, and I mean, it's pretty fucking mind-blowing. Let me just wait for it to load. More than from CTV News, more than 400 kgs of meth seized at the Manitoba border. So there's going to be a lot of unhappy people. And the thing is, Manitoba, we all know that the meth heads are still going to get theirs. So it kind of makes you wonder how much meth is actually in Manitoba. If they just seized 400 kg, I'll read the article, but that's like street value $50 million. And guaranteed meth heads are still going to get their meth. So how much? The Canadian Border Service Agency and RCMP seized 406 kilograms of suspected methamphetamine at the southern border crossing earlier this month. It was the largest seizure of narcotics by the CBSA in Prairie history. Quote, without a doubt, their work has made an impact and will stem the availability of this incredibly dangerous drug, a drug that has already impacted so many lives, said Inspector Joe Tellis with Manitoba RCMP's Federal Policing Unit. According to Ken McGregor, CBSA Chief of Operations, the seizure took place on January 14th at the Beauvais Port of Entry following the search of a transport truck headed to Winnipeg from the U.S. Quote, the truck was selected for further examination. It was during that examination that officers found narcotics in several large suitcases. It's like they're not even trying anymore. Suitcases? The seized drugs are valued at approximately $50 million. Makes me wonder if this, like, something like this is actually, like, just the find these ones while we get, you know, the bigger shipment across. It's kind of worried if, like, $50 million is the one they are okay with getting caught. Because, I mean, suitcases? That doesn't even look like they're, seems like they're trying. The driver's been charged with importing meth and possession for the purpose of trafficking. He will appear in Manitoba court in February. So, yeah, he's probably definitely out on bail. Tellis said, even though an arrest has been made and drugs seized, there is still a lot of investigative work to do. Quote, normally this type of seizure is the result of an extensive years-long investigation, he said. In this instance, we have a massive quantity of drugs and now need to work backwards to look at every detail. So, I mean, with that being said, hopefully this will lead to more arrests. That's, I guess, always the hope. Tellis believes due to the...
10 of you are the best.
Tellis believes due to the origin and size of the shipment that organized crime at the local, national, and international levels are involved. And the drugs would have been distributed in Winnipeg, Western Canada, and Ontario. Quote, large illicit drug shipments such as this one and the subsequent distribution of these drugs is closely associated with increased violence in our communities as street gangs and organized crime networks fight over territory and who gets to sell to the users, he said. Quote, that's why this seizure is so important. It will make a difference to many lives and communities throughout our country, end quote. Manitoba, the thing that worries me is I don't think this will make a difference. I think, honestly, like, we've all been downtown Winnipeg, like, it's everywhere. I mean, I hope this puts a dent in it. Unfortunately, it's not just meth, though, that we all know we got to worry about that's coming across our borders. 1.1 million worth of fentanyl seized at traffic stop near Brandon. Two people charged with possession of drugs for a purpose of trafficking. Meth and fentanyl. Two people have been charged after Brandon police found 9 kilograms of fentanyl with an estimated street value of $1.1 million during a traffic stop near Brandon. Brandon Police and Manitoba RCMP found the fentanyl last Thursday when they stopped the vehicle for a traffic violation at about 11:30 a.m. Traffic violation? Like, really? You got $1 million worth of fentanyl and you're going to fucking break the law? The vehicle was stopped about 5 kilometers west of Brandon while police were conducting a traffic enforcement initiative on the Trans-Canada Highway in and around Brandon. Police said officers searched the vehicle, which had a Manitoba license plate, and found a bag of fentanyl inside. A 27-year-old man and a 23-year-old woman are charged with the possession of drugs for the purpose of trafficking, and they are scheduled to make their first court appearance on Friday, where I'm assuming they're going to be let out on bail again. So, with that being said, Manitoba, now I know also with the last few shows that I've done have centered around Wabkinew's first 100 days. And actually, I kind of got a lot of slack on social media from the NDP supporters and the Wabkinew lovers saying, I'm not giving them enough slack by saying 100 days is too early. But I want to play a video for you guys. And this is what, I'm just going to pull it up. This is how he wanted to be judged. Remember that.
If elected, what immediate action will you take to crack down on crime within the first 100 days?
Bail. We'll start with bail right away. There's no need to wait for other levels of government to take action here. We can implement bail reform at the provincial level. And so within the first 100 days, to your question, we will direct the Ministry of Justice to implement stronger conditions on bail to keep you safe in the community.
All right. So first 100 days, I think we could safely say that didn't happen. Which brings me to my next clip I'd like you guys to take a listen to.
The Forex.com app. Use one swipe trading to enjoy lightning fast trading wherever.
All right.
Back down on the people.
Let me pause that.
Drug operating
nope,
in Manitoba.
Not far enough back. Okay.
Starting with Liberal leader Dougal Lamont. Go ahead.
Look, I know this is a question for Mr. Canoe. I know the PCs have kept talking tough on crime, but frankly, they are the ones who've been in charge for 7 years. And we know crime rates across the province are at crisis levels because for those 7 years, the PC government froze and cut funding to municipalities and police budgets. Now, Manitoba Liberals in our platform committed to cracking down on human traffickers and illicit drugs, drug operating in Manitoba as legal businesses. There are millions of dollars being made illegally, and Winnipeg is a hub for human trafficking. We have serious gang problems, serious illicit drug problems, and we agree with anti-corruption organizations we need a public registry so police and prosecutors can go after them. These are the real drivers of violent crime in the province. Why don't you and the NDP want to deal with this?
So when I say tough on crime and tough on the causes of crime, what I mean is that when somebody does something wrong, we have to take them off the streets and hold them accountable. And when we talk about the causes of crime, I think we all know that it's drugs. For so many of the issues that we're seeing each and every day, it's drugs, it's addictions. And what have you gotten from Heather Stephenson? As crime rates have gone up, as things feel worse than they were before they took office. Well, they've been hard on the people with addictions, but they've been soft on the drug traffickers. Something's wrong in that equation. So we will bring the hammer down on drug traffickers. We will crack down on the people who are bringing toxic drugs into our communities, the people who are breaking our families apart, who are robbing us of our loved ones. One step is to bring in an unexplained wealth act. That'll mean if there's a gangster driving a $100,000 car, we're going to ask, how did you get that? And if you can't explain it, we will hold you accountable.
Mr. Lamont, last word.
Look, that's...
All right, Manitoba, so there it is. It seems like we're getting just more talk from the NDP like many said that we're going to get. So that is the bad. Now, Manitoba, I wish I could just stop there, but unfortunately, it gets worse and creepily worse. Made requests surge in Manitoba. 2023 sees record high, data shows. So requests, this is from Global News. Requests for medical assistance in dying made have surged in Manitoba with record highs last year, according to recent data. The program came into effect June 6, 2016, Shared Health said, compared to a total of 36 at the time, there were 366 requests in 2023. Additional 338 of those requests were approved, and 236 May deaths were reported by the end of 2023. So there it is, Manitoba. Liberals are just pumping them out. There are more approvals each year than there are deaths due to, here's the scary part, due to voluntary withdrawal requests of people dying before receiving MAID, according to officials. Sorry, due to voluntary withdrawal requests or people dying. So the scary part is due to voluntary withdrawal requests, meaning they changed their mind, Manitoba. That is fucking scary. The most common medical conditions of MAID patients in 2022 were cancer and heart disease. And this freaks me out, Manitoba, and I'm a survivor of cancer, and I hate saying the word survivor, it's retarded, I didn't go to war. But I, at one time, had cancer. And this still freaks me out, man. I would never choose to kill myself, that's crazy. Quote, often the calls we get are more complicated calls. We know that 63% of people have MAID because they have cancer, and the average age is about 77, said Helen Long, CEO of Dying with Dignity. 77's young, Manitoba. Canada is not ready to expand eligibility for medical assistance in dying to people with mental health as their sole medical condition. It's something that they're thinking about doing. Is that not fucking mind-blowing in Canada? If you're sad, you can kill yourself. I know it's a little more than just being sad, but just for mental health issues, that is a slippery slope. The government has been facing a March 17 deadline to expand eligibility for assisted death to people whose only medical condition is a mental illness. The minister said the government plans to table a response to the report in the coming days that will ask for more time to implement the change, but did not say how much time the government will be asking for beyond the current March deadline. Quote, we agree that the conclusion that the committee has come to that the system is at this time not ready and more time is required. Thank God. The College of Physicians Manitoba has a public consultation draft available on its website, and CEO Dr. Anna Zomack says the main aspect that has been paused is when mental health is the only identifying condition. Meanwhile, the consultation is about patients with other conditions where death is not reasonably foreseeable. Quote, so congestive heart failure, for instance, you get to the point where your heart is no longer functioning well. One can guess how long that's going to be, but it is not reasonably foreseeable until you're in the end stages. So unfortunately, Manitoba is for people who have a bad heart, and because our health care system in Canada is a complete fucking disaster, that they're not going to give you help. So they're saying instead of us giving you help and fixing you, you know, for what you pay for, free health care, we just want you to die. And we want you to choose it. So that's what Canada's doing. It's mind-blowing that we're... And Canada is leading the world in government-assisted deaths, believe it or not, which is very, very fucking heart-disappointing, disheartening. So I will leave you guys with a little bit of positivity. And actually, this is across both political platforms, so no one can really take credit for it. But I mean, it's easy to change something that is such a disaster, but at least I will point out good things when I do see them. New report spotlights Manitoba's progress to reduce doctors' red tape. So that's good. I mean, we're moving in the right direction. So Manitoba is one of two provinces being praised for the progress being made in reducing physician red tape, according to a new report by the Canadian Federation of Independent Business released Thursday as a part of the CFIB's 15th annual Red Tape Awareness Week. Quote, Manitoba was one of the first provinces to jump up and say, we're going to take on this challenge and establish a joint task force to measure the burden and set a target and reduce the paperwork burden on our physicians. And real fast, Manitoba, quote, said by Brianna Solberg, CFIB Director of Provincial Affairs for the Prairies and the North. Quote, we're really happy that even though there's been a change in government, the NDP government indicates that they are still dedicated to continuing on with the work of the task force to measure and reduce the administrative burden on the doctors. So that's what I was going to say. This initiative started with the PC government, so it's not an NDP-initiated thing, but they're willing to continue it, which is good, and it seems to be working, according to this report. Manitoba doctors are spending nearly 600,000 hours on unnecessary administrative work and challenged the government to help physicians better manage patient backlog. A year later, a new snapshot spotlights Manitoba's major progress, taking on CFIB's challenge and reiterates the need to make red tape reduction in healthcare a priority. Quote, we know that reducing the paperwork burden is not a silver bullet to solve all of the problems in the healthcare system, but it's one simple low-cost way for government to address some healthcare challenges that they're facing, including patients' access to a family doctor, wait times, and shortage of healthcare professionals in general, said Solberg, noting a strong majority of small businesses they surveyed want government to reduce unnecessary paperwork for physicians so the latter can focus on patient visits. I agree. Also, it helps physicians. We heard from doctors last year that the paperwork they're dealing with doesn't just take away time from seeing their patients, but it affects them as well with their mental health and time with their family. So Nova Scotia and Manitoba are leading the way by measuring the administrative burden on physicians and setting a reduction target. CFIB found the two provinces achieved significantly more progress than the rest of the country, with Nova Scotia having eliminated an estimated 250,000 hours of unnecessary physician paper burden. In Manitoba, a joint task force was established last February with the CFIB and Doctors Manitoba to take an inventory of the time physicians spent on paperwork, set a reduction target, and support initiatives to reduce physicians' administrative burdens in the province. NDP extended the mandate of the task force. So unfortunately, we don't have a number of how much our doctors cut down. But either way, that is, like I said, a step in the right direction. That's not really a win, but, you know, let's keep it up. And Manitoba, this I would consider a win. Might get a lot of slack from some hardcore conservatives, but just remember, Manitoba, shitty people start out as kids. And it ain't these kids' fault if they go to school hungry because they have shitty parents. So I am 100% in agreement to this. Finally keeping Manitoba tax dollars spent on Manitobans and Manitoba children. There's no race tilt to this. There's no gender tilt. It's just Manitoba children who are hungry now get to be fed. And just think about it, Manitoba. I'm sure most of you out there have been hungry at one time. Think about being a kid in school and fucking being in pain because you're hungry. There is no way you're going to learn. And then what happens? You end up stabbing people. So I will applaud Wob Canoe on this. I agree 100% with it. I'm usually for spending tax dollars on Manitoba, keeping it in Manitoba. So Manitoba to spend $30 million to expand school lunch program. Manitoba's school lunch program is set to expand for the 24-25 school year. Premier Wob Canoe and Education and Early Childhood Learning Minister Nello Altomare announced it will be investing $30 million next year into school lunch programs. Quote, we have seen firsthand when students have access to healthy, fresh foods every day. It boasts student learning and success, a fact that is clear to educators in a classroom setting, Altomare said in a news release. The funding allows children to focus on learning so they could excel in school, end quote, which again, I 100% agree. There's no way you're going to focus on anything if you're hungry. And I don't just mean like you're hungry, you want a snack. I mean like you're hungry, you didn't eat today, and you ain't going to eat today, and you're probably not going to eat tomorrow. That's a whole nother ball game. And again, we're talking about kids, Manitoba. Kids living in Canada, so I agree with this. Of the 30 million, 15 million will be paid directly to school divisions for meal programs based on enrollment and socioeconomic factors. Schools in communities with the highest socioeconomic need will receive 6 million in funds, while 9 million in grants for nutrition programs will be available on an application basis. The province also announced it would increase grant funding to the Child Nutrition Council of Manitoba to $3.87 million this school year. The council helps cover food costs of more than 300 in-school breakfast, lunch, and snack programs in Manitoba. So, according to a news release from the province, the additional funds will allow the council to expand nutrition programming immediately and hire an additional dietitian. So let's hope they're feeding these kids actually good food if they're going to do this. Quote, recognizing the importance of nutrition as a basic need for academic success, having a universal program at each school community means that they don't have to fundraise to get the basic need met, said Irene Nordheim, school board trustee, Louis Riel School Division, in a news release. Quote, this is going to take time consuming work and lots of stress off the backs of teachers and administrators, end quote. So there it is, Manitoba. I think that is, like I said, a good thing, but I don't want to repeat myself. All right, Manitoba. That was, where's the timer at? 27 minutes. Perfect timing. Half hour. There it is, Manitoba. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. I am going to, I kind of like it doing it this late, 9:30. I don't know. I was going to start doing them at 7, but I think I might start at 9 o'clock. I like it. But either way, I'll probably catch you guys, I guess, Saturday. Maybe I'll do every second day. I don't know.